We are starting chapter 7 of Igeres HaKodesh, Simen Zion, or Perek Zion, as is in my book, which is found on page 425, page 426. This is another letter which bestows how great it is to give tzedakah specifically to Israel. Mm. Okay? Because the Alter Rebbe had his causes, and his causes were Kolel Chabad. Mm-hmm. Taking care of the needs of the poor of Israel, many of whom were his followers. So it starts again with a pasuk. It's Ashreinu Matav Chalkenu Ma Umanoyim Goralenu Ki Hashem Chalki V'Kaisi. Okay, and etc. So we say the first part. We say, lucky are we, or how goodly is our portion, and how sweet is our lot. And then the chulu, etc., is, and how great is our inheritance. Right. And then this other pasuk, the end of this is Hashem manas chalki v'kaisi.
Portions are falling in pleasant places, yeah.
Yeah. That it is my gifts of my portion and my cup, chaval minaf loli, and his portions fall to me. That's from a pasuk in Tilim Tes Vav.
Yeah.
Okay, now the Rebbe has a mimer by the name of this title, Ashreinu Matav Chalkenu, which is found in the Sefer Maimonim Lekutim. Mm-hmm. And there he says that there are three different levels. You have Chalkenu, Goralenu, and Yerushasenu. And he equates those three with, and he's going to, the Alter Rebbe is going to start that a little bit over here, but the Rebbe explained it at greater length, with Memali Kol Omim, Sovev Kol Omim, and a Gile, which is even higher than Sovev Kol Omim. Okay? It says that when you have a chelik, a portion, so a portion means is you have a portion of something means it fits to a certain size.
Yes.
Okay? Like you have a portion of, I'm thinking, I'm just really upset. The idea of pie just really turns me on right now. So, a portion of pie.
Right.
Okay? My mother used to always say, don't eat anything bigger than your head. So, you have to have this portion of pie that fits into your head.
Yeah.
Then you have Goralenu, which, our lot. So, that refers to something which is lands on you, so to speak, without any type of consideration as to limitations, and that is what Sovev is. And then Yerusha Seinu, so Yerusha, you don't have to do anything for a Yerusha. To get a chelek, to get a piece of pie, you have to get the pie and put it on your plate.
Right.
Okay. To get a Yerusha, you don't have to do anything. Yerushas just happen to wind up being yours.
Okay.
Somebody had to die, and then automatically it's yours. Whereas with other things, there has to be like a king. Like if I give you something,
right?
I say, hey, Akiva, I'm giving you this. It's not yours until you pick it up, or we sign some sort of a document stating that it belongs to you.
Right.
So there has to be a kinyan made.
Until you receive it, right.
Okay. With an inheritance, it's yours as soon as the guy dies.
Okay.
You don't have to do anything.
It's done.
Yeah. So that refers to godliness, which is not even limited to the limits of Sovev Kol Omim. Because Sovev Kol Omim, okay, how do we translate Sovev Kol Omim back in the late 40s and chapter 50s of early 50s in Tanya? Is not to say that it's encompassing, that's wrong, but rather it's a gili which is beyond our cognitive realization. Okay? And therefore it affects everything equally. It's related to Olam, though. Okay, so everything's equal. It's a Kol B'Shava Achas. Everything's in all one equanimity. But it's Soviv Kol Olmim. It relates to the world.
Okay.
So obviously then, if it relates to world, even though everything in world is exactly the same,
right,
it's still very low godliness. Okay, so that's why when he says Yerusha Thenu, so that's godliness which is beyond being relevant to world, having any type of shaykh as a connection to world, and that
that's world on any level.
On any level.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, because he's going to talk about that. He's actually going to talk about that in this letter. And you really don't have to go so far up, you know. If you're going to put it in geography, you really don't. You're just saying it doesn't really have to be that far up where it's not even relevant to the world anymore. Mm. Because you're still even, it could be even after the first Tzimtzum. It doesn't have to be like, you're not even talking Atzmus, because it's, we stick a new at the end of it, meaning hour. So even though it doesn't relate to world, it still relates to us.
Still talking about possession.
Yeah, it still relates to us. It's a Yerusha. We don't have to do anything for it.
Right.
Okay, there's no, it's just ours, but... Yeah. It's still the revelation of God, which is beyond the world,
right,
which is ours. Okay? And then everybody talks about doing mitzvahs and that type of thing over there, so as to be able to tap into these different levels of elikus, because that's really what the bottom line is. Bottom line is, you do mitzvahs, and you attach yourself to God, and everybody's happy. The flows just keep flowing. So now, so the altar has a question. Lahavin lashon kalkein of a gur aleinu. He's zooming in on these nouns. Our portion, our lot. V'tzarach levar heitiv lashon hashagar b'mayim rizal ein lechelik v'lekai yisrael. So he says, wait a minute, God's divisible? Mm-hmm. I want a piece of pie.
Yeah.
Okay, that means that there's a pie. I'm taking some of it,
and I'm
not taking all of it.
Right, and
the rest of it stays there.
Right. Sure,
okay, except
right.
In my house, I'm taking all of it.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
Okay, but you can't do that with God.
Yeah.
And we even have a pasuk, and you can't. Right. It's actually my rizal. Ein lechelik b'elokei Yisrael. He has no portion in the world to come. Ki hagam lechar lo shach lashon chelik klal be'elokus yisbarach she'ena metchalak lechalakim chas v'sholom. You can't divide God into pieces. So how are you calling him a chelik? That's a very interesting comment. There are many maimori chazal that start ein and have the word chelik in them, in elokei. There's ein lechem chelik. There's no, you don't have a portion. Ein lehem Chelik, they don't have a portion. Mm-hmm. So here the Alter Rebbe chose specifically Ein Loi Chelik Ve'elokei Yisrael. Okay? And why is that? Since this is talking about the negative, he doesn't have a portion in the God, in the world to come, which now he's translating it that why doesn't he have a portion in the world to come is not because in the God of Israel, it's not because he's such a bad person, which is what all those Maimonides Chazal are talking about.
Right.
But the Alter Rebbe is saying he doesn't have a portion in the Elokei Yisrael because it's not apportionable.
It's impossible to have.
You can't divide it into pieces.
Right.
Okay. But there, it's still being sensitive to what it says over there, that there it says that the reason why this person doesn't have a portion in the God of Israel is because such a heinous individual. So the Alter Rebbe didn't want to say you. Uh-huh. If you'll notice, and I got this from Avraham Lipsker, I got this from Avraham Lipsker, that when Avraham Lipsker ever uses an example, he never uses a you. He always says a he. Okay, and I was told that when you say, like, for example, this example, you die. And that doesn't sound very nice.
Right.
You got a guy who dies, is the way you're supposed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Alter Rebbe isn't going to say, you don't have a portion in the world to come. Or you don't have a portion in the God of Israel.
Right.
Okay.
He's going to say he.
He. Now, why didn't he say Ein Lehem? There's also, that's also a Maimer Chazal.
Okay.
They don't have.
Right.
So the answer to that is, it's bad enough he doesn't have. They don't have it. They don't have either.
Yeah.
That's very bad. It's more than one person doesn't have a portion.
Right.
So he leaves the two he doesn't have.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay. But the bottom line here is that the reason why you cannot have a portion in the God of Israel is because the God of Israel is not divided into portions.
Portionable.
But what do we still say every single day in davening? Even on Yom Kippur, Chelkeinu and Goraleinu and Yerushaseinu.
Yeah.
We use that expression.
Right.
Our God is our portion.
Right.
Now, I've already always thought of it as, when I say God is my portion, so it's not that God is being divisible.
No.
But my portion
is God.
Is the whole, what, how
the
much?
Whole, the whole thing. The whole thing.
My whole thing's God.
That's the way I would have read
my,
that.
My whole God is my God. The whole God is my portion.
Yeah, that's right. it's normally not
that's
interpreted that way?
I would think it would be, but that's not what the Alter Rebbe seems to say.
Really? Okay.
But now how well are we going to interpret it?
Okay, man.
Kamosha kosa biyakav ayukro lo kael elokei Yisrael. And it says concerning Yaakov, and he called him, capital H, Kael, the God of Yisrael.
Mm.
Okay, now this statement, when Yaakov, when this is a posik, the posik could have said, and he called him Kael Yisrael, or Kael, or Elokei Yisrael, but it says specifically Kael, Elokei Yisrael, which Kael generally we don't translate. God. I mean, how are you going to, Kael, interesting thing about Kael, the name Kael generally is followed by another name of Hashem.
Really?
Yes. Very often it's Kael Shakai.
Okay.
Sometimes it's Kael Elokei, sometimes it's Kael Hashem.
Yeah.
It's for the most part. There probably are instances where it is just appears by itself, but it's in most instances.
But
in
not
Bible,
the norm.
In most instances in the Bible, it says Kael, hello God, which one? Elokei Yisrael. We're talking about. There was a. I found this out teaching philosophy at a university. There was a Canaanite god that was called Kael.
Oh, right.
Now, whether they had it first, we had it first, we probably had it first, they took it.
Yeah.
So when they were saying in the Bible now, in the Torah, when it says Kael, Elokei Yisrael, so the people who know about this Canaanite one, so most likely then it would make sense to say, no, not that not, one. The Kael, Elokei Yisrael one they're talking about.
Yeah, this one.
Okay,
yeah,
but we don't need to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, not too much about that now.
So.
Fortunately.
Yeah, so keep that in mind, because we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Pirush, ki hine be'emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu g'shmo kein hu. We'll use the expression HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That word, that name is comprised of three words. The Holy One, Blessed Be He. Okay, when you do it in English, it kind of gets all slurred into one thing.
Right.
The Holy One, Blessed Be He. Right. Okay, when you think about it, well, what does it mean, the Holy One, Blessed Be He? It means, God being... No. In Hebrew, it's three separate things. There's Kaddish, Baruch, and Hu.
Yeah.
And it's three different levels of Elokus. Normally, when we refer to... Excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we always say, like in davening, L'shem Yichud Kutshu Brichu U'Shchinte, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. Shechina is Malchus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zah, Shechina is the feminine aspect of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the masculine aspect of God. But here, what we're talking about, we're talking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does it mean, this, to be able to be masculine aspect of God, which means the Mashpia, the giver. Shechina is the mekabel, the recipient, whose idea is to become sort of like the expression is the mother, as Shechina is also called in the Zohar, the Ematata, the lower mother. Okay, because the mother is a mekabel, and then it becomes the mashpia. She takes in and she gives birth. So, in order for Kadosh Baruch Hu to be able to give, well, it's described in the Kabbalah. That, and it's brought down in Tanya in chapter 2, that the origin of the child, which is eventually born, originates in the brain of the father, and then it's drawn down. Okay? And then, so here we have, Kadosh means removed. The word holy means consecrated, which means removed.
Separated.
Baruch means to draw it down. And who is sort of kind of like Lecha also. Just a name and beyond description, just referring to nothing else but him. Okay, like when we say in davening, Baruch Atah, Hashem. Baruch means to draw down. Atah means the levels of Elokus, which are beyond any type of limiting name. And then Hashem, Elokeinu, etc. Okay, because Even Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the Shema Mefurash, at best could be described as a logarithm. Excuse me, not logarithm, an algorithm.
Algorithm.
Yeah. If I'm tired. An algorithm for Elikus. What's an algorithm? An algorithm is a process whereby you start with a bunch of numbers, you put it through this mathematical formula, and out comes the other side, you know, the answers.
Right.
Okay? Which goes back to your simple algebra stuff, like x plus 1 equals 0, so therefore x has to equal negative 1, or the absolute value of negative 1, or whatever.
Right.
You know, whatever. So that's that would be a simple algorithm.
Yeah.
So Yud Kei Vav Kei is nothing more than just a process. It's a function machine whereby godliness of a higher level can be processed and be user-friendly and come out the other end and have something there.
Right.
And each of the seven names that are not erasable act in the same way. They act of functions of X, with X being Atzmusa Mohusa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then you have lower level names that are erasable, like Shalom and Hagibor and you call it Avinu Avarachamim. All of these, mm-hmm. you can say Avinu Avarachamim all day long. You could write it down on pieces of paper, you could scratch it out, you could throw the piece of paper away. Because that's now showing on how it is totally and completely relatable to the three dimensions.
Three dimensions, right, okay.
Okay, when we say Father of Mercy, so we can picture, we have a picture.
Right.
We have a three-dimensional representative, Father, Mercy. We know what a Father is, we know what Mercy is. This is a lower level of God, which is right here, tangible to us.
Right.
Okay, when we say Yud Kei Vav Kei, we haven't got a clue what that means. And even the names that have, like Elohim means a judge. So this is the governor of the godliness. But what is it governing? It's governing godliness. Well, what does that mean? How do you govern godliness? Okay? I know if I put a small plate on the inside of a carburetor, it's not going to go so fast. That's a governor. Okay? That's what I know about governing. But to govern godliness, so I don't get it. But now, when you start talking pronouns... So you might think a pronoun, generally, we think pronoun in lower terms. You're talking to a person, and you address the person by name, and you think if you use the referring to another person, you use the word he, so you think it's a step down, because
right.
There's this person in their seat, but it doesn't work that way. It's actually quite the opposite. When you say the person's name, so you're limiting your relationship with that person to how that person...
To that name.
That name.
Right.
I'm going to use an example.
Qualities.
Like people call you Dad, and people call you Honey, and people call you Sir, and people call you Akiva, people call you Mr. Witt. All of these are functions of relatability.
Right. Correct.
Regardless of any one of those people, when they say the word he, or right now, or you...
It's the entire being.
Whatever it was. It's
right,
all
right.
of those. It's
right,
it's
right.
It's
the
stripping away all of the things.
Right.
So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's the level of godliness, which is directly relating to the essence of Hashem.
Right.
Okay, so now what do we have? Is we have Kadosh, Baruch, and Hu.
Right.
So it's not going in order. It's not Hu Kadosh Baruch. That doesn't have the same ring. Who Kadosh Baruch? Nah, it doesn't fit this line.
Nah.
So the but that's what the deal is because what are we being Kadosh and Baruch? What's separate of it? What's it removed? And what's it drawing down?
Yeah,
it's drawing down this level of who.
That level of who.
So when we say Kishmo Kein Hu, that he's a Kadosh and he's Baruch and he's who. Pirush, no. Ki af diihu b'malikol olmim el yoinim v'tachtoinim aroim hamailus ad mitachas lo'aretz halazu hachumrius. That even though Hashem fills all the worlds, the higher worlds, and the lower worlds, from the highest of levels until the lowest of their land, this physical coarse world. We'll stop right there a second. I was reminded in looking over here that the Alter Rebbe really had problems with the word Atzilus.
Okay.
Because he was there, probably between you and me.
Yeah.
Okay. He would just say it's like, you know. It's like me when I'm saying like chocolate fudge brownies, okay? So I say chocolate fudge brownies, and I'm like right there. Okay, I know what those chocolate fudge brownies are.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Alter Rebbe he was probably the same way with Atzilus.
Right.
Because he used to refer, normally, under normal discussion, he would just refer to it as Oibin, which is Yiddish meaning above.
Above, okay.
Or in writing, he was sort of referring, he says El Yainim, or El Yon.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about Atzilus. Okay, and when he does, we brought this up before, and when he does talk about Atzilus, mm-hmm. In writing, it says that when he was talking, he could only say Atzi, and he would just say Atzi and keep going.
Yeah.
And when he wrote it, he wrote Aleph Tzadik Yud. Uh-huh. Okay, not to be brief, because we see the words Asiyah and Briyah,
right.
And Yetzirah,
right.
But you will never see the word Atzilus in the writings of the Alter Rebbe.
Wow.
Okay. Now you could tell me, wait a minute. I know that there are instances, like for example, in Lakuti Teira, where it does say the word Atzilus spelled out, but those are from the Tzemach Tzedek. So the Tzemach Tzedek was good, but I don't think that he related to Atzilus the same way that I relate to chocolate brownies.
Uh-huh. I hear.
Okay. So the Alter Rebbe says now, so what about Elokus? Hashem fills all the worlds. And each world is filled as it is required of it. If you were, and we talked about this last week also, you know, if it were to be that you suddenly were to experience a revelation of Atzilus,
mm-hmm.
you would be in Atzilus. You can't say, I'm going to experience Atzilus right here in this world, folks. I'm going to show you what Atzilus looks like right now.
Okay?
Can't do it. Because to be in it, to show you Atzilus, you have to be in Atzilus. Because that's the definition of what Atzilus is.
Yeah.
Is a when we say world, we're not talking universes.
No.
Okay, I mentioned last week this physics book that's written by a guy by the name of Max Tegmark,
mm-hmm.
okay, who wants to be the next Stephen Hawking, etc.
Mm.
So he's calling it universes, and he's getting stuck in the idea that there's these parallel universes.
Okay.
So what's the problem is that they all exist simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't got to the end of the book yet. Maybe he does figure it out, but I'm just impressed that he's got four universes.
Okay.
Because they all exist in the same space.
Right.
Okay, that's what we believe.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Okay, so he's getting stuck. He wants to know where to keep his math universe. Uh-huh. Where do I keep my mathematics universe? It's not, you know, he's got no place where to put it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but it exists, because once you get out of this world, you're not talking spatial anymore.
No.
Okay. So this Mamali Kol Omim fits into whatever realm of consciousness is required in that for that thing to exist specifically. In other words, God knows his customers, knows that this amount of godliness is appropriate for this one, uh-huh. as we have a various uh-huh. midrashim where uh-huh. the angel started to complain, and he said, be quiet, I'm going to stick out my little finger and I'm going to burn you all up,
yeah.
which would be interpreted to mean that all I have to do, God says, is just extend a little more revelation of godliness,
right.
and guess what? You're no longer in the world of Yetzirah.
Yeah.
You're getting kicked up to Bria, and guess what happens when you're in Bria? You don't exist, because
right.
Bria is only just a Sharius HaMetzius. It's only just a possibility for something to exist.
Right.
And Malachim have a very defined existence in the world of Yetzirah, the world of formation. So if God just has to do a little more revelation, so what happens? Mm-hmm. So now they're in Bria, they don't exist in Yetzirah anymore, they don't exist.
Right.
So that's how we would translate that. As it says, do I not fulfill the heavens and the earth? Ani mamish. Ani relates to Anochi. Anochi is formal. The Rebbe gives a whole sicha in Chelek Aleph. It's either in Shavuos or it's not Shavuos. In Parshas Yisro, he talks about Anochi Hashem Alekecha, and how Anochi is an Egyptian word. And really, well, nowadays, Anochi is considered like the formal I in mm-hmm. Hebrew.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Now, where do you hear Anochi from mostly in Israel? is from cab drivers who are being a bit facetious, you know, when uh-huh. using the supernal we, for example.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So they have they use the supernal Anochi, you know, uh-huh. so, you know, they call it Adoni, you know. So it's very nice, my master.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Call me George.
So when you're talking Ani, so what is it? What's the elokus that's being... we have this whole Seder Istalshus, and we talk about the processing, and we use the example. I've actually updated my paradigm.
Okay.
I used to say that the godliness is so processed, by the time it gets down here, it's like Velveeta.
Yeah.
Well, there's one step worse. Yeah. Cheese Whiz. Cheese Whiz is worse than Velveeta.
Yeah, because...
It's in a can.
It's in a can. It's under CO2 pressure.
Yes,
yeah.
And it squirts out. Yeah. And no one would... I mean, at least Velveeta looks like little slices. You could say, that's something to go on a sandwich.
Right.
But Cheese Whiz is just like, you know...
Yeah.
I don't know who came up with that stuff.
Nobody.
Okay, so the world...
That was a machine burp.
The world, it was a mistake, like silly.
Exactly. Body. You got it.
Yeah.
You got
okay.
it.
Okay. So even though that's the case and the processing of godliness is so entailed, but it's still Ani, which is a big chiddush, because Cheese Whiz is hard to tell that it actually came from milk once you get so processed from it.
Yes.
Whereas the godliness maintains its integrity throughout the spectrum of creation. You might say, well, wait a minute, I don't see God. It's just like you don't see electrons either. They leave like this little trail. Okay, the godliness does leave because we know that there is life.
Right.
We cannot define life.
Right.
Scientists at time will say, well, it's an energy. But what's energy? They haven't got a definition for energy yet.
Not yet.
So we define energy as elokus.
Right.
So therefore, the trail of elokus is apparent in this world. Ani mamish. It says ani mamish. That's why I am explaining what I am explaining. Ultimately, it's not chump change God that's keeping the world going. It's diminuated God, the same stuff. That's why we like the example of electricity so well. Because the amount of electricity, which is like this tape recorder, for example.
Right.
Okay? It's got two AA batteries.
Right.
Okay? Which are generating electricity.
Yes, 3 volts.
Not a whole lot. How many amps? Very few.
Microamps.
Yeah. Microamps. Okay? But in analysis, that electricity is exactly the same electricity which is being spun off of Fermi 2 at 50,000 volts. Same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You bet.
That means to say, when we say Ani, it means Hashem's essence and being. And not just His glory. Let's talk about essence, being, and glory. Okay? And actually, I've seen lots of written pieces that discuss and say, you should really say Atzmusay or Mahusay.
Mm-hmm.
It says Mahusay v'Atzmusay. Atzmusay, Mahusay, Mahusay, Atzmusay. So, very often it does say Atzmusa Mahusa, but here, because what's Mahus? Mahus comes from the word Mahu.
Mm-hmm.
Mahu means, what is it?
Right.
Okay, there's an it there.
Okay, yeah.
So it means it's...
It doesn't work.
Yeah, that's why it's translated into English as being.
Yeah.
Hashem's being.
Right.
Okay. When you think about, well, what does being mean? Well, there's the verb to be, and something that bees is being.
Is being, yes.
Yes, or supreme being.
Right.
Is the expression. Being means it just has an existence.
Yes, it's existing.
Okay. Atzmus means essence.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So essence is now being. Where's Hashem's being, or what is Hashem's being? Well, Rambam tells us Mahuso is Atzmusay. What is the it that is Hashem? Hashem. Hashem's essence. That's his being.
Yeah.
Okay? Because, and that's really tough, because there's you and there's what you are, what you do.
Yeah.
It's not, there's the essential akiva, and then there's the what is the akiva?
Yeah.
The what for?
Right.
Like my mother used to say, "I'll give you what for." Right. Yes.
Anyway. She would. Yeah. Yep. Got that.
Yep. That was her being.
Yes.
Anyway. Where's kaveda? Kaveda is one of those nebulous words in English. Glory.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Which glory means an external, radiant expression. Mm. That's what they're glory. When usually we think glory, we think shiny. At least I do anyway. Something
like that, yeah.
Yeah. So this Hashem's glory is this low-level revelation of godliness that I can relate to.
Okay.
Okay. So when we say that what's enclosed in this world is not just the glory of Hashem, even though we had at the end of Shar Yechud V'Amun in chapter 11, chapter 12, he says, the ha'ara de ha'ara de ha'ara, the ray of a ray of a ray of godliness. Mm. Okay? And which that would definitely qualify as kavod, Hashem's glory, this just mere effulgence of godliness which is in this world. But what he wants to say is, it says, Esa Shemayim V'Esa Ars Ani Male, that the Elikus is right here in his essence and his being,
yeah,
like before the world was created.
Yeah, yeah.
And we said that in davening too. Atahu Mishanivra Ha'ilam Atahu Mishanivra Atahu Mishanivra. Yes. Yeah, yeah. You're the way you were before the world was created. You're the world since the world was created. There's no change in Elikus.
Right.
Now, so if you want to ask the question, where is Hashem? You have to say Hashem is right here.
Yeah, here's the answer.
But we still call him Kodesh. Right. He's removed.
Indeed, he is.
Kadosh Baruch Hu. Afal Pikun, who Kadosh removed him, El Yenev Etachtein Ve'ena Nitvus Klal B'Teicham Chasor Shalom. Ketfizes Neshamas Ha'adam Begufa Derech Mashuk, which were Machamach Berichos. Hashem is separate and removed from not just this lower world, but also the higher worlds.
Sure, of course, yeah. All of them.
And it's not enclosed, not grasped by them at all.
Right.
He goes so far as to say, Chasor Shalom. The way that the soul is the soul of man is grasped by the body is explained great length elsewhere. And we've talked about it at great length.
Hmm.
When we say Nasa Adam B'Tzalmeinu K'dmasenu, let's make man in our image. So we use ourselves as a pattern, and we say that an Adam is an Adam Katan, is a Olam Katan, man is a small world, and the world is an Adam Gadol, and the world is a big person. Hmm. So you have all these things. So Hashem fills the world, but Hashem is muvdal from them. He's kadosh from them.
Mm.
What does it mean, Kaddish, in this point? If Hashem is here, how could he be not here? Well, we have that problem, but Hashem doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, because what does it mean? Well, actually, I've had plenty of students that were there and weren't there.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. So, anyway, so the Hashem is here because that's Hashem's Asmusa Mahusay. Right. We're talking Kaddish and Muvdal. That's talking about the revelation that we can tap into.
The revelation, right.
So, in other words, and it's sort of like Hava HaTali, as mentioned before, because we don't have the revelation,
right,
we can have the essence. I'll give you, for example, our five senses are very poorly developed in comparison to other animals.
Yeah, of course.
Other animals can work in the physical world a whole lot better than we do.
Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing. Look at a fly, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you go after a fly, and whatever way you're going after it, it goes the other way.
Right.
Amazing thing.
Right.
Okay, and it's got to do with its sense of feeling. You don't have such a sensitive feeling.
Right.
Okay, but you don't have a fly brain either.
Fortunate. Well, that's... Who are you talking to?
Okay. Because we have such a developed intellect,
yeah.
if we were cognizant of all the sensory things going around us,
we'd be overwhelmed.
You would be overwhelmed. You couldn't process function. Too much information to process.
Couldn't function.
Like I just noticed right now that the birds just stopped chirping.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yep. Birds just stopped chirping. Oh, there's another one. Okay. Okay, we weren't even thinking about birds.
Right.
Okay, I was just listening to the birds before, just because I was going to be in. Did you notice that the birds were chirping?
Right.
When I was talking to you, you had paid no attention to the birds.
Right.
Okay, but now that I mentioned that the birds aren't chirping, so it's like, okay, fine. But there's all kinds of things going on. There's all kinds of noise going on.
Yeah.
That our body, we block it out.
Zoned out, right.
Okay, until I just mentioned it right now, you didn't feel your elbows on the table.
Right. Correct.
Okay, because if you were feeling your elbows on the table, you weren't listening to me.
Right.
So, Phoenix, you're focusing on what I'm saying and trying to process and use your intellect.
Yeah.
So, your sense of feeling is disregarded.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Subdued. Right.
Okay. So, when we talk about the godliness, which is actually relating to us, that's Kaddish. It has to be, because otherwise, we don't get to exist.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
So, but the essence still remains. And because, now when I say the Hava Hatalia, is because we don't see it, therefore we have the essence. Because if we were to see more, we wouldn't be able to relate to it. We'd get blown away.
Right.
The essence would blow us away.
Right.
That's the same thing with the Malachim yelling, Ayemim Kam Kivayde, where is the place of his glory? Because they know there's more godliness out there.
Right.
How do I know there's more godliness? Because I read it in a book. They... No, there's
they
more
know.
Godliness out there, and there's the screaming and yelling back and forth.
Right.
Barash Gadol. All
right.
Okay, with a great, great bunch of noise. So, whereas, and now, it also says we had this, 16 times already, that the soul is affected by the happenings and occurrences of the body. Ma'uras haguf, it's called. Okay? A small hole in the body causes a big hole in the soul. Is the expression from the Gemara. When you're going ouch because you hurt yourself, it's not just your body that hurt itself, it's the neshama that feels the pain of the body and transmits this into your brain and so that you get to say, ouch. Okay? And the same thing also, you feel cold, you feel hot, okay? All these different things.
No.
Yeah. With Hashem. So everything changes, the body changes, the soul feels it. With Hashem, hot, cold, up, down, no. Hashem is not affected by it. Even though Hashem is memale kol olmim, but the example, like a soul fills a body, but the example, at that point it just breaks down. The whole example breaks down.
Right.
Because really what's enclosed in your body, let's talk about it a little bit more. What's enclosed in your body is not the essence of your soul. What's enclosed in your body are the specific faculties of your soul that relate to the specific body part.
Right, correct.
So the kayach hariyah, the power of sight enclosed in the eye, and the power of touch in the fingers and etc. The power to walk is in the feet,
etc.
But the essence of the body, the essence of the neshama is not enclosed in the body. It's out above the body. So with Hashem also, so you have godliness of Likus, which is enclosed and limited by the three dimensions, but even that godliness, is where the mashal breaks down, even that godliness, which is limited by three dimensions, is not affected by the three dimensions. It still maintains its infinite qualities. Okay? Whereas the power of sight does not. You can't see into infinity.
No.
Okay, why not? How come your vision is the way that it is and my vision is the way that mine is?
Don't have
the limitations of the eyeball.
Don't have the capacity, right.
That's it.
Don't have the capacity, right. It's not built into the system.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and it has to do with how the soul relates with the body and what the body is able to do with the soul.
Right.
Okay, but the soul remains the same. So Hashem remains the same. Difference being is that with the body, the power of sight is limited. With Hashem, the godliness which is contained in the physical world is not limited. You have a physical, it's a dichotomy, but you have a limited world which contains an infinite godliness.
Okay.
So, problem. It should be your biggest problem. And it's not really such a problem because how many fractions is there between 0 and 1? We have no problems with limited infinities. So therefore, we don't get our godliness straight from God. It has to go through the processing. The godliness spreads out and enlivens the upper worlds and the lower worlds. Now, you could challenge this, and we have, because it says in Pirkei Avos, V'haloi v'maymer echad yachol liborim, the world was created using 10 utterances, which that tells us that there's a whole process to creation. Mm-hmm. And then ask the question, but couldn't Hashem have made the world without the process? Could we not have a limited, finite world, which is not preceded by a Seder Histalshalus? Hashem could do anything.
Could do anything you want. Yeah, sure. Of course.
Okay, but the Zohar answers is began to Ishtamegen. But what will we talk about? We wouldn't have anything to talk about. We have no way of knowing how the whole process went. It would be just, yeah. You know, at some point in the nebulous past, we didn't exist, and now we do. Right. That would be the only thing that you would be able to say.
Yeah.
And sometime in the nebulous future, we will cease to exist.
Right.
That's it. That's all you'd be able to talk about creation. But like this, that there is a process, and Hashem let this process be known,
right.
So we get to understand how godliness works.
Right.
At least in this paradigm.
Yeah. It's a gift.
Okay? Because otherwise, if it was another paradigm, we'd have to spend our time working on that paradigm.
That paradigm. Right. Exactly. And so it will be probably.
Yep. And this is sort of like we say a ray, an effulgence of Hashem's name. Again, going back to the name being an algorithm by which the godliness is processed,
right.
So that it comes out in a user-friendly mode.
Can relate.
And we say Shehu Ushmai Echad.
Right.
And algorithm is a good example because an algorithm is mathematics.
Sure.
So you start with mathematics, you process it with mathematics, and you end with mathematics.
Right, right, right. It works.
Okay.
It works.
So here, you start with Elikus, you process it with Elikus,
and you end up with
Elikus.
Right.
That's what it means, Ushmai Echad.
Yeah.
The process is also Elikus because what can
sure,
possibly contain Elikus is only Elikus.
Only Elikus, right.
As it says that his name is exalted alone. Alone means it's by itself. Meaning, if it's by itself, so what about the Atzmus? So it is. It's still Levadai.
Okay.
Because the Shmo is not an addendum to Atzmusai.
Right, okay. Sure.
At best, you could say that Shmo is a facet of Atzmusa, but probably even less than that.
Yeah.
Rak zivoy v'haydol aris v'shamayim.
It'd be a gilui.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the purpose is for gilui.
Right.
Okay, so what's causing the gilui? Elikus.
Right.
What do we start with? Elikus. What's right. The final result? Elikus.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is it? It's just a ray of Hashem in the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
V'ha'arazu this ray of godliness, absolutely 100%, without equivocation. We're not talking so to speak over here. This ray of godliness absolutely encloses itself in the higher worlds and the lower worlds to enliven them. And is grasped in them through the creation process, which is made of all types of intermediaries, all types of simtsumim, all types of contractions, rabim va'atsumim, great and numerous and awesome, bihistalshulus, madregas, through this descent of levels of cause and effect. Derech ilva olam. Okay, and even still, so we've got two things going on. We, at this point, the Alter Rebbe is talking out of both sides of his mouth,
and he's it's saying, true,
and they're both true.
It's true.
He's saying it is separate. It's not separate. It's totally one. It's totally processed.
Right.
And it's all true.
And yes, and it all works. Yes.
Cheese
whiz at the best.
Yeah. It's a bad example because cheese whiz is not connected to milk.
I know.
If they would make a Chalav Yisrael cheese whiz, I don't know.
I wouldn't eat it still. Eat it anyway. Yeah. Might eat the chew the can, but.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Throw it into an incinerator, you know.
Glue parts with it.
Yes. Hine ha'arizu, this ray of godliness, avshalamailuhu me'iru mispashetis, v'chinas b'ligvul, even though before it's limited, it is unlimited. Right. Before it's limited by any type of a container, of a vehicle, of a limitation.
Right.
It's b'ligvul, it's without limitation.
Okay.
V'tachlis. L'hachlis o'ilamas ne'alamim le'ein keitz v'tachlis. And has therefore now the potential of enlivening infinite numbers of universes. As it's brought down in the Zohar, when it comes down, the godliness goes through the process, through the Tzimtzumim Rabim, Lahachiyas Nivraim, Yitzarim V'Nasim, and it now comes and enlivens creatures, forms, and entities, meaning in the world of Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya, who Nachalas Derech Klal, Nechalek is Derech Klal, L'misper Teriyak. It divides itself up generally to 613 parts. Keneged teriyak mitzvahs teriyak. Keneged the six corresponding to the 613 commandments. So when we say chalkenu, what the Alter Rebbe wants to say is, what's chalkenu? Chalkenu are the mitzvahs. So we go all through this, and what are the mitzvahs? The mitzvahs are Ritzayna Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's Ritzayna Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the will of Hashem?
Right.
It's beyond any name of Hashem.
Right.
And that's Chalkeinu, that's our portion. Shehein Teriyag Minein Em Shachas Ha'oriz Mezum Me'oriz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the 613 commandments, or 613 types of derivatives from the infinite light of Hashem, Laharal Neshamas Ha'odim HaKalulim Ramach Evorim Veshes HaGidim, to which illuminates and shines up and permeates all 613 body parts of a person's soul, Asher Ba'avaiduhu Iker Tachlis Yeridus Hamshachos Ha'orizu Lamata L'Kolan Evorim Yitzarim V'Nasim Shetachlis Kulan Hu Ha'odim K'Neideh. And why is it that you need to have 613 parts in Bria, and 613 parts in Yitzira, and 613 parts in Yisiyah? Is so that the godliness comes into 613 parts into us, because the buck stops here.
Sure.
We have to do the mitzvahs,
right,
bring the godliness down, make sure that it's not just processed to the point of cheese whiz, but bring the godliness and elikus out into absolute, and that's through doing mitzvahs.
Right.
And this is where we will stop. We're in the middle of page 428, 429, 427, 428,
right, yeah.
V'hine misper zeh, and to be continued.
Yeah.